The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
A very good morning, Rolene Marks. How are you?
Good morning to Howard Squared and Zanati. How are you doing?
Excellent. Thank you very, very much. But let's just talk about some of the things that don't make us excellent. And that is, of course, UNESCO denying Jewish connection to the holy sites. It's a story that just doesn't end. U.S. Religious Freedom Commission has now slammed UNESCO for their findings and for their approach. Tell us about the story.
Well, that's exactly that. The commission head of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom blasted UNESCO and said they are undermining the historic connection between the Jewish people and the land of Israel. And a quote from the commission head, Gary Bauer, is as follows. He said, "The idea that there's a question about the Jewish historical presence in the Holy Land and specifically at these sites is unacceptable and diminishes the religious rights of the Jewish people." Now, he's referring to sites like the city of Hebron, Bethlehem, who UNESCO have called Palestinian sites, the cave of the patriarchs and the matriarchs, as well as Kever Rachel, or the cave of Rachel, as well as a debate around Jewish connections to the site of the Holy Temple, which is today, of course, the Western Wall. So he says that UNESCO has no business pronouncing on territorial sovereignty or arbitrating territorial disputes. And he's right. You know, UNESCO is there to promote cultural and education. It is the cultural and educational agency of the United Nations. And basically, what are they doing? Meddling in religious affairs. So he says that the consistent anti-Israel bias at UNESCO has led to the United States and Israel withdrawing from this UN agency, and the State Department says that the decision was not taken lightly and is a reflective of American concerns with the need for fundamental reform at UNESCO. And we've seen since then the United States withdrawing from the UN Human Rights Commission and basically putting the United Nations on blast and giving them a stern talking to about the amount of funding they get and for their flagrant bias. And this is not just against Israel, but anti-American bias as well.
Wow. So do we see any progress, though? I mean, you know, we have had statements by UNESCO that, and the head of UNESCO, that she's working very hard to try and change the approach. Has there been any visible signs of it?
Well, the last visible signs we saw of any kind of rapprochement or approach towards Israel was the conference they held last month on anti-Semitism, and Prime Minister Netanyahu declining to attend the conference, saying that he finds it a little bit hypocritical of UNESCO to have such conferences when they are denying our rights to holy sites. So nothing conciliatory to the taste of the current Israeli government yet. But he is hoping that we will see some significant reforms in the future.
All right, certainly we'll keep an eye on that story. Macron has threatened to unveil his own peace plan if the U.S. does not release details next month. I would have thought that he would try and sort out France and the anti-Semitic problem that they have there before he tried to solve Israel's problems.
One would think that, but I tell you, the contents of this Trump peace plan is more closely guarded than the finale of Game of Thrones. You know, nobody knows what this peace plan contains. And Macron, just one leader, expressing his frustration that we don't know. We don't know where Trump is heading. Yesterday, you and I spoke about the fact that Trump told Macron at the meeting of the United Nations General Assembly last month on the sidelines with Macron, Macron that he's not afraid to treat Netanyahu as harshly as he has treated the Palestinians. He's expecting major concessions to be made by Israel, and that the United States sort of conciliatory measure towards Israel was to move the embassy and to officially recognize the city of Jerusalem as Israel's capital. And he's saying this doesn't mean that there won't have to be painful concessions made by Israel. And we heard as early as August from the team that are putting together this plan that both sides are going to be slightly unhappy with the Trump peace plan. But we don't know what this peace plan says. So France's President Emmanuel Macron has said that if he does not hear the contents of this peace plan next month, he is going to issue a proposal of his own. And he has instructed his foreign ministry to start looking at new ideas for resolving the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And he has apparently mentioned to President Trump that if the U.S. do not move ahead, Paris will. You know, I think that every president or every president of a major country wants to be the one that brought peace in the Middle East. I mean, shorter books have been written about peace in the, you know, in the Middle East. But as you say, there are a lot of domestic issues in France, rampant anti-Semitism. And, you know, perhaps before lecturing to both sides here, he needs to look, you know, charity begins at home. He needs to look at domestic issues in France.
What I actually found interesting is this morning we reported on a story, and it comes out of one of the this morning's publications that there's been a finding, a committee actually headed by an Israeli woman, and I'm going to go and find the article where France has been quite severely censured for their banning of wearing a burqa in a public space. So I do find it also quite interesting that that France is going this route.
Well, it is very interesting. You know, they've got a lot of issues, as you've just mentioned, a huge Muslim community, and banning the burqa is extremely disrespectful and discriminatory towards their Muslim citizens. There's rampant anti-Semitism. There are a lot of economic issues in France. So, you know, what is France doing trying to meddle in the affairs of another country or another, you know, region? And also, you know, Western countries tend to forget that this is the Middle East, and the Middle East and trying to impose Western solutions on Middle Eastern problems doesn't always bring the results that they are hoping for. So it's going to be a very tense couple of months, a very critical couple of months, and we'll see if, you know, who will be the first power to try and bring Palestinians back to the negotiating table.
Yeah, I just found that article was in Times of Israel. UN Rights Committee slams a French burqa ban as a violation of religious rights. France rejects criticism from a panel chaired by an Israeli professor and says that a full face veils are incompatible with the principle of fraternity and democratic values. So I do find that quite interesting. Can we just talk for a moment about this Human Rights Watch report? I know that you briefly spoke to Kathy on the afternoon show about this. What were the findings of this Human Rights Watch report with regard to Israel and the Palestinians?
Okay, so let me just clear up one point. This particular report is focused specifically on the Palestinian Authority and Hamas. The Palestinian Authority govern the West Bank, and Hamas, who are their political rivals, govern Gaza. However, Human Rights Watch, on interviewing some 147 witnesses, and, you know, one commends the bravery of these witnesses, because it's very, very difficult to come forward and give testimony under the current circumstances, have found that both organizations, so to speak, are guilty of gross human rights violations in the way that they detain and they torture anybody who they see as critical or dissenting or political rivals. And the watch the Human Rights Watch report condemns them for carrying out arbitrary arrests for peaceful criticism of the authorities, and this is particularly on social media among independent journalists and on university campuses and at demonstrations. And they say that they have found that these organizations practice a particular torture mechanism called shabe, where they enforce the person who's being tortured to remain in a very, very uncomfortable position for long periods of time. Maybe they have to squat with their hands in the air for hours on end. And this leaves little evidence or trace that can be found on somebody's body, but does lead to severe pain and severe ramifications and harm for their bodies. Also, and we've spoken about it often, the treatment of political opponents and dissenters. If you are a political opponent of Hamas, you may find yourself tethered to the back of a truck and pulled through the streets, until your limbs come apart or you die or your body is severely harmed. Anybody who they see as a dissenter, and by this they mean sexual orientation, the horrendous practice of throwing homosexuals off the top of roofs of buildings. These kind of practices has come up in this report. The report does not deal with Israel. And if you want to check it out, it's on my Facebook page. It's called Two Authorities, One Way, Zero Dissent, Arbitrary Arrest and Torture under the Palestinian Authority and Hamas.
So here's a question in principle, Rolene. We spent a lot of time criticizing the Human Rights Watch and saying that they're a biased organization, etc. And of course, we see this over and over again that they are. Given that, how seriously, A, should we be taking this these comments, and should we in fact be relying on them in any way? Because doesn't it question our own, in inverted commas, good faith if we believe the Human Rights Watch on some things but not on others? How do we treat this? What's your thoughts?
Well, this is a great question. Very often we find Human Rights Watch guilty of extreme bias against Israel. But, the fundamental difference here is that in Israel, if there are human rights transgressions carried out by the army, or other security governmental apparatus, we do have the judicial system, the Supreme Court, the mechanisms for bringing people to justice and conducting any kind of investigation. This is a very, very rare occurrence where we see the Human Rights Watch or these type of NGOs actually look at the other side and castigate the other side. I would encourage other NGOs, along with Human Rights Watch, to conduct their own investigations into these practices by Hamas and the Palestinian Authority, so that in the interest of balance, we have a variety of opinions. And if they draw the same conclusion, then we perhaps could take Human Rights Watch a little bit more seriously. This is not to say that Israel is above reproach and is a perfect country, but we do the fundamental difference is, as a democracy, we have the mechanisms to investigate and bring to justice.
All right, and that's where we leave it. It's about to go 8 o'clock. Rolene Marks with the Israel Report. Thank you, as always. We'll catch up with you tomorrow, same time, same place. Have a good one. It's about to go 8 o'clock. Here's your news with Sanati.